World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you know, some days are better than others. I'm whispering here a little bit. Can you hear me okay, folks? I'm actually in the hotel bathroom. Well, my bathroom at our hotel. I'm not a pervert. Michelle and I are bathroom. I've had unbelievable internet problems here this morning. Don't know exactly what's going on. I'm doing it on Michelle's cell phone. And I'm trying not to scream and holler like we always do because I'm in the hotel room right next to me. They can probably hear everything that's come on. In fact, they came in last night about 3:30, I think it was, speaking Spanish, all kind of screaming at other, like, it's crazy. But the Lord, somebody that went this, am I okay image-wise, Spencer? I can't even see it. Am I in the screen okay? All right. Okay, he says a little close, so I'm sitting back here. Gonna need your help. There you go. So I'm sorry, folks. I want to appreciate Randy sitting in for me yesterday on a short notice. And be honest, I didn't get a chance to watch the podcast, but I'm sure it's a good one. I'll get a chance to follow up with it. And just all of you for bearing with us and everything we're struggling through here today. I'm going to get Joe in here to do communion in a second. But I got some information. I can't even see my screen. It seems choppy. I can't see my screens to like the links and that kind of stuff. So it's really going to be an open phone Friday, whatever the heck they call it. And I got some good stuff. This is so weird. I can't see anything. So I assume you're all able to see me. But Joe, I know Joe got up out there for us out in California to lead us in communion, Joe. So come on in, brother, if you will.
Thank you, Coach. I gather you're not in a hotel in California.
I'm in one in Florida, which is probably becoming like California. California.
Well, a lot of New Yorkers are going to be moving down there, I think.
Yeah. Hey, the weather's beautiful. I got my beautiful wife with me. She doesn't have to run the sweeper and wash dishes. And so from that standpoint, it's been good. Betty's down here. She was here last night as well. So go ahead.
No snow shovel.
No snow shovel.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, the reading this morning, everybody, is Romans 6, 1 to 11. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
God forbid.
God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin.
Amen.
Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again with gratitude for all that you've done for our lives, for the sacrifice made for us for our sakes, and for all that you're doing for our lives now, for the work you're doing in our country and around the world. There's a shaking in process, Lord. And please let all that can be shaken. Shake the lies from the trees so that only the truth remains. That only the truth remain, Lord. And that will set us free. And how free indeed we will be with that much truth. And Lord, I know you're working not just in my state, but throughout this country. You're in Florida with Coach. And you're also in Colorado, where Tina Peters is still wrongfully imprisoned. We ask that there be some shaking there, Lord. Let that shake and shake. And let her be freed from the shaking. Let the prison doors open up and her emerge. And keep her healthy while she's there. Keep her spirit strong. Fill her with your love. Fill her with forgiveness, because it's probably a daily struggle as she forgives those who are wrongfully keeping her captive. And bring truth to those in political power and judicial power who know the truth and are abiding by these lies that they have been trying to uphold. Let the real truth come out there, Lord. And please be with our troops wherever they are in the world. I have a feeling there are places where we may not know. But the world is in the process of changing. To keep our troops safe so that wherever they are, there'll be no casualties as was in Venezuela. And let people here at home keep their comments to themselves until they learn until they learn the truth on the facts of what's happening. Not playing quarterback in their armchair watching a football game when they don't really understand the whole thing. There's so much that we don't know. So many facts that our leaders have that we don't have. Let us not judge. Let us let you be the judge, Lord. And orchestrate this so that everything comes out as you would have it. But help us all to do our best. Let us all be asked. And it's our turn to be a Moses and raise a staff over our middle, our Red Sea. Let us raise that staff, because we know you work through people, Lord. You work through people. So let us take our roles, raise our staff, and be your servant, and help you accomplish those miracles in our lives around us that we need to help you accomplish in our partnership, in our covenant with you, Lord. And help us to be your ambassadors, not to react and throw our temper into things, but to do as you would do, to forgive, to turn the cheek, or to flip the tables and turn the tables in the temple. It depends on the circumstance and what you would do. And give us that discernment. Give us that discernment, Lord. And thank you for communion. We really can't comprehend how the creator of all, everywhere, would give a part of himself, his only begotten son, to sacrifice for our sakes, that we who believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's so hard to fathom. We try. And help us to be worthy of that sacrifice, Lord. Help us to be worthy. Because we know that he would not have died for something unworthy, not for an unworthy cause. So being created in your image must be a big part of why we are worthy. And so, Lord, we thank you for communion. As we take communion, we ask you to forgive our sins and transgressions and bring us cleansed into your sight, for this is a holy act that we do. We ask you to bless this bread and this drink, representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we remember what he did. He asked us to remember, but we also believe that we are participating in the great covenant by partaking communion. We are participating in the covenant, and we are grateful that we can do this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, Joe.
And enjoy the food.
Y'all hear me okay? Because I seem to be cutting out in and out a little bit here, so bear with me. crazy times we live in. Crazy times. I can't see hardly anything on the screen, so bear with me. Some of you can out there, Spencer, somebody, maybe people, their hands are raised, and maybe you can help me with it. Here's where I want to go, Spencer, if you can pull it up for me. What's going on? I mean, I don't want to get bogged down talking about the girl who was, I think she was a commie, right? That was killed in Minnesota, and nobody's for killing anybody, no matter what they're, oh man, is that ever better? Oh, thank you. Betty gave me her phone. Betty and I are in the hotel together. My wife's with me. Betty just walked in. I got distracted. Anyway.
Do you have the video?
I'm good. Oh, no. Oh, thanks. There you are. I don't know why mine's so small here. So look. What's going on? And it's a color revolution, folks. I don't even know if you understand, if we all really understand what's going on. And if you could, Spencer, pull up the post I gave you today from Michael Flynn. And I need somebody out there to volunteer. Mike Flynn, I still think General Flynn, I still think he's a trustworthy guy. And he posted this I saw on Facebook this morning. My computer wasn't working, so doing the best I can. But if somebody volunteered to read what General Flynn said is going on, then I'm going to try to connect some dots.
I'll take it, Coach.
Okay, listen, folks, a color revolution. We're going to talk a little bit about that here this morning. We hear those terms, but we don't really understand what it means. Okay, so go ahead and read that, if you will. This is from General Michael Flynn about what he says is going on.
Boom. Trump just declared the entire globalist migration agenda a child trafficking operation.
Hang on, folks. This is from General Flynn, okay? This is probably somebody who's in the know, who understands what's going on. It's not some pundit. It's not some congressman. General Michael Flynn trying to tell us exactly what's going on behind the scenes. Go ahead and start again, Judd. I'm sorry.
a child trafficking operation at the UN. The UN. 300,000 children went missing under Biden. $6 billion routed through NGOs, fake sponsorships, and elite-run pipelines now under military investigation. Trump started down the architects of this system and said, any system that results in the mass trafficking of children is inherently evil. This wasn't just a speech. It was a global indictment. This was never about immigration. It was logistics for trafficking. NGOs funded by Soros, UN compacts, BlackRock, backed tech firms, and HHS contractors formed an industrial network to move children like cargo via the CIA. Under Biden's, I put that in there, puppet regime is thrived. 65,000 post-placement calls to children's sponsors went unanswered. No follow-ups, no investigations. That's not neglect. That's a pipeline. And it was protected at the highest levels. Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, confirmed 28,000 of the missing children have already been tracked down since January. That's not a statistic. That's a war report. This network spans DHS, UNICEF, Catholic charities, humanitarian NGOs, fake addresses, no vetting, no biometrics. When grilled by Congress, they lied because they weren't failing. They were succeeding at hiding kids. Now Trump is unleashing the counterstrike. Military tribunals are running. Whistleblowers are under emergency protection. Executive Directive 77Q authorizes military intel to override civilian agencies on trafficking. That goes to our military war manual, by the way. 2 weeks ago, USOC unit raided a DHS contracted warehouse in Laredo, Texas. No paperwork, no registry, just children. A linked Arizona facility traced funding to a Swiss foundation tied to the World Economic Forum, by the way, which Trump will be at next week. This is the same elite class that flew Epstein's planes, smiled with Ghislaine Maxwell, and cheered open borders. They funded private security, encrypted comms, and blockchain routes to protect their trade. Trump already pulled the U.S. out of all UN migration pacts. The UN, adding this, that held at Mount Hermon, you understand that, sending shockwaves throughout the globalist network. Panic is spreading because they know what is coming. NSP 33 has been reactivated. Quantum scans are exposing underground holding centers, erased data vaults, dark net comms tied to UNICEF and the WHO. This is the takedown of the largest trafficking apparatus in human history. The mask has been ripped off, and Trump just put the world on notice. To the traffickers, you are being hunted. To the NGOs, your funding trails are being burned. To the elites, your immunity is over. Stay updated for more information. Join the JFK group.
That wasn't, folks, that wasn't some wonk on Fox News or CNN or Your Best Life Now. That was General Michael Flynn, who certainly would be. Look, let me backtrack a second, because it's important for us to understand this. If this worldwide cabal of globalists really are in control, if they really control Donald Trump, they control Michael Flynn, they control all the, then we are so screwed. It don't matter what with them, it don't matter. And I think that the continuing is You know, there's so much. Do you have any idea what it would be like to try to dismantle, if there really is this deep state, this new world order, if they've had since George H. Bush, when he's talked about a new world order, if they've really been working 20, 25 years to put together this network of beyond of evil, beyond what we can even imagine, do you really think we're going to disassemble it in 1,000 days? How long is that thing going to take? And the connections, the best buddies who are corrupt best buddies, each covering for each other, putting each other in political positions, putting each other in positions of authority, covering for one another, Republican, Democrat, yada, yada, yada. Folks, come on, man. Come on. That's what we're dealing with. And if we could here, I'm gonna shut up here in a minute, but I want to show you. Thanks for doing that, Judd. I know some of you guys got stuff you want to comment on that, but hang on a second. Pull up if you can that link I just sent you regarding a color revolution. We are in the midst, my friends, of a color revolution. Now look, I would read it. I don't have it in front of me. I can't see it. But if you guys understand, so somebody just read maybe the first four or five paragraphs of this color. Judge, you did a great job. If you can, go ahead and read the idea of a color revolution, folks. And a color revolution is secret infiltration, destruction of a nation, a color revolution. Let me connect the dot. You do know that the girl who was shot up in Minneapolis. We can argue whether it was justified. Yeah, we can go back and forth on all that, all we want to. But we do know this in Minnesota, even right now. One of our friends contacted us yesterday. They want to fly. You got to fly out of Minneapolis. Would you want to fly out of Minneapolis today? Would you want to do that? And so the idea of a color revolution is to create chaos and try to figure out, you can't trust this person, you can't trust that. How all of a sudden could all of these people from all over the nation end up in Minneapolis, Minnesota? Do you think it's just some Joe Blow sitting in his house and says, hey, Esther, I think I'm going to go up there and protest that? No, 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 folks. This is a deeply organized color revolution. So I don't have it in front of me, but Jeff, if you would, just read the first. Just take us down through the first four or five ideas of a color revolution. And by the way, the good guys do it too. It's not just the bad guys. It's the good guys. Go ahead, Judd.
Color revolution. Color revolutions are the most sophisticated means of warfare analysis. Color revolutions are political terms used to describe turbulent political events. Mass street protests, riots in order to achieve a revolutionary change of government. Some revolutionary upheavals are successful and some remain only attempts. However, so far they have taken place in a number of countries at the end of the 20th and at the beginning of the 21st centuries. Color revolutions broke out in the countries of the former Soviet Union, in the Balkans, in the Middle East, and more recently, in the places such as Iran and China.
The most. Judd, hey, Judd, hang on a second, Judd. Hey, Judd, that's how they destroyed the Soviet Union. Remember when it used to be the Soviet Union, USSR? And then all of a sudden it was broken up into pieces and it became just Russia and Yugoslavia and all that? That was all done by color revolution. Keep going.
The most popular revolutions are the pink revolutions in Georgia. And 2003, the Orange Revolution in Ukraine. In 2004, the Tulip Revolution in Kazakhstan. In 2005, the Yarmadian Revolution in Ukraine. In 2014, some observers called these events a revolutionary wave whose beginnings can be traced back to 1986 and the Philippine Yellow Revolution. The world we live in is changing more and more from the day to day, and so are the means of political struggle. Conquering power by military means is to some extent obsolete because people no longer have the will to die in the trenches like they used to. Classic wars, expensive and long, are being replaced by more subtle ways of conquering a certain area. One of the most important is the colored revolution, under the guise of a democratic uprising. The removal of an unskilled government or a coup d'etat is actually being carried out. Most often, external powers, without exception, the West, sponsor, plan, organize, and implement revolutions. The role for external forces in cover revolutions is crucial, and without them cannot arise. These are revolutions mostly in the name only. In fact, it is a sophisticated form of warfare, often an international conflict, although the legal professions does not yet recognize as such.
Okay, Judge, you can. I appreciate it. But again, put that in the chat so the rest of you can read what's going on. And so, if we would understand that we are in the midst of a color revolution, meaning the NGOs, the George Soros's, those kind of people who are doing the best they can to try to overthrow liberty in the United States of America. That's why you do understand this. Tell me you get this, that this killing of this woman by ICE, it's just George Floyd 2.0. Tell me that you see that. That's all this is. That now, whether this was a setup, whether she was, who knows, whatever, she was there, she got killed. Now, look at all of the, appears to be support coming in, riots breaking out here, all kinds of, right, you with me? Disagreements, boom, boom, boom. And why? It's more this color revolution, I would say, against Trump. Now, hang on. If Trump's a bad guy, we're screwed. If he's a bad guy, we're screwed. But I would think, according to what I read about General Flynn there, sitting in the, what they would call the operation room, or getting the great computer printout of all these NGOs, all this stuff that's going on, and how they've been stealing the money. Folks, can you imagine what's involved with trying to bring all that down? Corrupted judges. Yeah, corrupted judges, corrupted governors, corrupted officials, everywhere you look. That's why I said we're in the crucible. We are in the middle right now of whether or not the United States of America, as we know it, will survive. Now, understand this. I'm going to open it up here. This is all important, folks. The media is part of the cover revolution. The media. Media. Do you guys remember when the girl got killed at J6. Somebody help me. Ashley Babbitt. Ashley Babbitt got killed. Let me tell you something. Ask yourself this. Did the media go into all type of background on Ashley Babbitt and what a great daughter she was? She served in all. And oh, she was just there just expressing her will. No. They just buried it. They just buried it. And Roseanne Boylan, the girl who died at J6 and tried to resuscitate her. And have you seen all kinds of things about Roseanne Boylan, her life and what she did? She was just such a wonderful person. No. This is all, the media is part of this color revolution. They're part of it. And it's anti-Christian, anti-Christ, godless, anti-liberty that's gone on. And I'm going to tell you this. Ain't none of us got any idea what's being dealt with behind the scenes. Nobody knows. And I'm like you. I've sat around for a long, long time. And what's Q telling us is going on? Q. It doesn't seem to be like anything's happening. Well, I think stuff's happening. But what would it be like right now? I'm not saying this is true. What would it be like if we found out all of a sudden that Obama was already arrested? That Hillary was already arrested. No, I'm not saying they are. What would be the reaction of the left, the godless communist left? What would be their reaction if it hit the news that Obama was at Gitmo? I'm not saying he is. So a good football coach, a good strategist, Judge, you know this. Coach Norm, you know this. It's deception. You don't let the other team know what you're doing. You're setting them up to do something else. And I would just propose and pray that we would be patient enough to know that, again, if Donald Trump's on their side, we are screwed. And if he's not, then we should stop being blown by every wind and flicker that comes against him. He's doing this. Because folks, I know this. We're in a war, man. And I hate to tell you this. You're going to have to pick a side. And you can be with those leftists that we see going on in Minnesota, the ones that have been stealing all that. I got more information today on that. You wouldn't believe the NGOs and what they've been doing with the money. They say that the Democratic, if they can stop the flood of the NGO money, the Democratic Party will collapse because they don't have the support they want us to think. This is not a 50-50 country. It's not. And the truth is, as I've known throughout my, through the last 25 years of my life, Christians don't show up and fight. But the lefties do. So all the Christians sitting home watching what's going on in Minnesota, they think, oh my God, Trump's just causing all this. No, 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 no. They show up in the streets. The other team shows up in the streets and gives the appearance that everybody in America is upset when it's not the truth, folks. It's not the truth. And I would say, I couldn't give you a number, but how many Americans do you think are glad that the corrupt money stealing is ending? Huh? I would say a big majority of Americans are. But see, the media is not on there telling us that. Media is not forcing it because it's a color revolution we're in the midst of. Okay, that's an overview. On a guy, I can't even hardly see anything on my phone, doing it out of my head. And now I want to go ahead and open it up. Hey, Spencer, somebody's got to direct it for me because I can't see anybody.
Yeah, I was just going to mention, you know, Tim Walz is in a very peculiar place. And if anyone doesn't understand why he, of all people, was put on the national scene when nobody knew about him.
How about that, folks? Nobody knew who he was, and they picked him to be vice president of the United States. Nobody knew. Go ahead, Jim.
It's just fabulous. But if we're watching right now, I don't particularly partake in the media today. But I do watch certain things because I like to see what the enemy is doing. And if we look at what's called the Mockingbird media, that's what CIA has deemed it. The Mockingbird media... You know, for example, when this Floyd 2.0 stuff started coming out, isn't it ironic? There's literally blocks of 300, 400 people that automatically showed up. But one thing you'll notice is a lot of them all had whistles. I don't know about you, but outside of Coach or Brett, who walks around with a whistle in their pocket? And they're all blowing the whistle immediately in terms of what's going on. All you hear is these whistles going off just to create a frequency regarding the law enforcement that's engaging the situation. But long story short, President Trump told the whole world on a public channel, there is no Biden. Anyone show me one three-letter agency media outlet that told the world anything about that? Not one.
What do you mean there is no Biden?
Trump posted on his Twitter and on True Social, there was no Biden.
It's been a facade, folks. It's been this facade.
So let me explain that. He explained the world back January of 2021 that Biden was executed. This isn't, it's not hard knowledge to find. It's not hard knowledge to follow the military laws and orders of how a president should be buried or in a funeral, his gun salute, or what it should look like. There's key things. If people follow the details, you come to the real answers, but the media won't tell you this. As they basically expose each and every corrupt politician on the left, and Trump's even said at his rallies, the rhinos are worse than the Democrats.
Yep. Because we think they're on our side, don't we, Jen?
Correct.
Nothing worse than having somebody covering your backside only to find out they weren't covering your backside. That's where we are. Thank Somebody else, pop somebody up. Whoever's running up, popping in. Nobody's got a hand up. Nobody's got a comment on this. Go ahead, Johnny.
Hey, good morning, you guys. Yeah, the way that they're lighting fires all over the place, the truth is coming down, it seems that. I mean, you're right, Coach. We have to make a choice. What side are we on? Because yeah, we're coming down to it now. I mean, we can feel it. And if Trump is not who we think he is, I can't even speak of that level of evil. I mean, I don't think that he is. Everything is a process. And it, like you said, again, all of this is going to take a lot of time. But kind of red light indicators with like Pam Bondi and things of that nature, all the gaslighting that's going on, it's like, why aren't people being held accountable and justice being gaveled? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Johnny, kind of waiting in the water. I don't know.
Let me throw this one out there. Excuse me. Why did Dan Bongino quit? How long was he at the FBI? How long was he there? And then all of a sudden, quits. Now, from my perspective, I'm thinking he's quitting. Why is he quitting? Like his boss and getting paid enough? What would be the reasons that you would quit? And that's what I'm thinking. Huh? He was threatened. His family was threatened. He found out how deep it was and couldn't really do anything about it. He's going to go back to his podcasting, which he was making millions of dollars of podcasting. And here's our guy. It would be like me. This would use me, although I'm not certainly putting myself in Dan Bongino's category. They put me in as, pick whatever position it was, they put me in as sheriff of Licking County. I'm sheriff of Licking County. And people say, boy, we finally got one in there. We got Coach Dave in there. Oh, right, go, Coach Dave. And then 2 months later, I resign. Wouldn't you wonder what's going on? Why Coach Dave resign? We needed him in there. So I think, just guessing, something really, really big, Dan Bongino knows that we don't know, and he may never tell us. Cash Patel's another one. Is that what we thought would be the good guys? Judd, you know Cash. Good guys. Is he gonna be able to withstand what's going on behind the scenes? The threatening of your fame? I don't know. I'm just guessing. If you were made governor of Ohio tomorrow, you don't think it'd be dark forces at your door? Trying to influence you, do this and don't do that. And you better shut up about this and be awful. Boy, it'd be awful if you lost your wife. Oh, man, it'd be awful if we showed, if it hit the media, these pictures we have in there, dinking some little girl. Boy, that'd be awful. Folks, come on, let's wake up here. This is war that we are in. And it's easy for us. I'm sitting here in my easy chair in the bathroom here at Days Inn or wherever I am. It'd be easy for me to say what ought to be done. It ain't a gun at my head. It ain't a gun at my wife's head. They put a gun in my wife's head. My politics might change pretty quickly, to be perfectly honest with you, right? And so I think we don't understand the magnitude of evil. We don't get it. We don't understand. And are you really ready to lay down your life? I can't criticize any of them. I can't criticize any of them because I don't know what I would be. Hell, we got people wanting bring up stuff to their pastor. They don't even have the courage to go to their pastor and ask a question. And then we expect a guy like Dan Bongino all of a sudden to be riding herd like he's Wyatt Earp. Come on, man. This is a deeply entrenched, wicked, evil system that we think is a republic. Oh, no. A democracy. See, we're not a democracy, right? We're a constitutional republic. But even they lied to us about that. The media's involved. What would you do for a few bucks? Somebody slipping you a few bucks? Would you change your story if you were in the media? What if your boss said to you, you're a reporter, and your boss says to you, hey, man, it'd be awful if you got demoted, wouldn't it? See if you can't maybe clean up that article a little bit. Is there any way maybe we can change the tone of that? Come on, you're big boys and big girls. Just look at any organization you're a part of locally and how hard it is to change that one organization. And you expect some guy to come in as president of the United States and all of a sudden all these deeply entrenched organisms designed for a color revolution. You're going to change that? Well, good luck. Good luck, cowboy. That's the way I read it. And that's why we're in the only answer is Christ. The only answer is Christianity and Christ and the whole creation groaning, waiting for the manifestation of sons of God, and the sons of God ain't showing up. That's the way I read it. Who's got a hand? I can't see anything on my screen, folks. I'm so. How much time do we have, Spence? I can't even see that. 20 minutes in. Dave and Jerry. Dave and Sherry, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks, Coach. As you were talking, I'm very frustrated. There's been a lot of stuff that just hasn't happened, and we're really frustrated about that. One glimmer of hope that I had, right or wrong, this Maduro capture, I was encouraged because they pulled it off. And why did they pull it off? Because they had to do it in secret. They couldn't tell anybody.
That's right.
So if there's something going on behind the scenes and we're not hearing about it, there's good reason, you know. And so that's why that gave me a glimmer of hope. They pulled it off because they didn't tell anybody. So maybe there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that they're not telling anybody because they can't.
They specifically didn't tell Congress. What does that tell you?
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be the last person I'd tell, too. Yeah. So anyways, Coach, so last night, went to a county, spoke at a county board commissioner meeting, and they elected some good conservative Christian people, but the left showed up in numbers because they knew. And they had signs, get your religion out of our government, you know. But, Coach, how am I going to come to a compromise with people who are wearing masks, have bones in their nose, they, you know, colored hair, the goofiest looking crowd you ever seen in your life? How am I going to come to some kind of common ground with these guys? You know, we're trying to think, how are we going to reunite as a country? Are you kidding me? I don't even know where to start with these folks.
That's right. That's right. Oh man, this is so deep, folks, to understand how we got where we are. It goes back again in my opinion, back to 1947, when the Supreme Court ruled there was a separation between the church and state. And you know, one of the things that I was at this event last night, it's a football event, the Hula Bowl event, but it's very, very Christian. Hey, Coach E, Mark Gastineau. I got to meet Mark Gastineau last night. He got up there and he spoke about the gospel. Man, Coach, is unbelievable. Friends, how do we get to the point where Christianity, Christians, have taken a place in the back of the bus? How did that happen to us? And what it did is it gave us compromised candidates, compromised Republicans. Because why? We're supposed to be the watchman on the wall. The church is the watchman on the wall, and they ain't watching.
Amen.
That's the whole thing, man. Why are we expecting unrighteous men to do something righteous? They ain't gonna do it. They're not gonna do it. And so this color revolution that's going on is for, now see, so we can pull back and say, well, it's all about the end times, Coach. This is what it's going to be like. Well, it may be like, we may be in the end times, but the Bible says occupy till I come. Where is the church? Where are we? And I'm telling you, I fell in that room last night. There were some big, burly Christian boys in that room last night. And we just have to continue to pray for a revolution of the Spirit of God in America. It's got to happen fast, folks. Got to happen fast. Lorraine, come on in. Okay, Mary Beth, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mary Beth.
That's I can't no problem. See anything. I was just thinking. Oh, no, it's okay. I was just thinking about the color revolution, what you were talking about with Ashley Babbitt and how they actually.
Oh, my goodness.
They shut her mom up. Didn't they arrest her mom? But yep. The other thing is Minneapolis with that Sean Falk was on one of the things, and he was talking about how it's a principality in Minneapolis. Like, it's a spirit of violence, and we need to pray against that because prayer changes things. So that was my point.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lorianne. Come on in. Thanks, Spencer, for throwing that up there for me.
Good morning. When we're fighting against all these masked bandits, right? It's all the communist and the socialist agenda. Like, I've been listening to Carlin Boysenko a lot, you know, and for those of you who know, I first found her on Nino's podcast, and she used to be a part of the left, and now she's not a Christian by any stretch of the imagination, but she's a capitalist. And she's exposing all this, the communist socialist agenda, and giving you the understanding and the definitions of the words. And you can't look at it from a conservative perspective. And when I listen to her podcasts, I listen there like I'm going to go into my class in college and sit there and learn. And I don't agree with everything, but I want to learn what the left is doing and what their left is saying. And where there is... And my point is that they're taking all this verbiage like white supremacy. Most of us, especially in the conservative lane, take white supremacy and the definition of white supremacy versus color. Me being an Italian, white, Irish girl versus, you know, someone else who's of, you know, like Nino, he's Hispanic, right? So he's got brown skin, right? And that's how we think of it, but that's not how the left and this communist socialist agenda is working. And they're organizing, and she infiltrates all these things, all these people, and they're making zines, and they're going into the college campuses, and they're organizing, and they're putting all this stuff together. They have small and large cells all over the place. And the definition of white supremacy is anybody, and it doesn't matter what the color of your skin is, according to this culture. It's anybody who owns any property or has any small business. So if you own anything because they want a collective thing, and like exactly what they're doing in New York is exactly what they've been doing in schools and pushing all of this. So that's what we need to pray against, is that all of this comes down. Because the stuff that's happening in Minneapolis, this is organized. I've listened to how they're organizing and doing all of this stuff and how they're going out. And the whole reason why this stuff is happening to ICE is because they have these little cell groups, these home groups.
Okay. So Lorianne, thank you. I get the point. Let me ask you this. Could the church turn out people?
No, and they're
no, doing no, 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 no. Hang on a minute. Locally, could the churches turn out people at city council meetings and board meetings? Could the churches do what the left is doing for righteousness? Yes. Will we? No. Why?
100%, yes. Coach.
We see it work. Folks, the Methodists don't even like the Presbyterians. The Presbyterians don't even like the Lutherans, and they sure as hell don't like the Catholics. We have a divided team, divide and conquer. And the whole world's waiting for the manifestation of God's team to show up. But we're in 48,000 different huddles. We're not unified, man. The left hates God. That's what they're unified against. And we've been taught, love all those who hate God. We're crazy. Who's up next? I can't even see. Adam, come on in, Adam.
Hey, Coach, good morning. Somebody said that they were trying to find common ground. I say there is no common ground.
There isn't any.
That the people of light don't share any plot of land with the people of darkness. We need to stand up and say, no, we're not going to put up with it anymore. We need to stake more. We need to pray more. We need to be more vocal, and we need to be more active. That's what I say, but...
So Adam, here we are. I've been doing this for a long time. We started what we called Salt and Light Brigades. Truth is, they've kind of fizzled. Local groups. Just ask yourself this. Do you know anybody else? Is there anybody else in your town that's kind of sick and tired of what's going on? Well, where do you meet them? How do you organize with them? I'm going to tell you this. It ain't going to be pastor-led. If you're waiting for the pastor to do it, he ain't going to do it. Most of them are bought and paid for. Now, I don't mean bought and paid for by the government, but they're bought and paid for by the building that they built and the blacktop that they had to put down and the staffs on their salaries. Oh, yeah. That's where we are. I can't see anybody else. I'm kind of all over the place, but I'm telling you, I see this. I see this so clearly. Dale, go ahead.
Yeah, Coach, this is much deeper than just this. You know, first off, the churches aren't going to come together because they don't leave their church in the first place. So that's how right. The heck do you go meet with somebody? Because we're at that point. You know, this goes to the saying, it's real simple and it's probably real shallow, but it has a ton of truth, is that as the family goes, so goes the church. As goes the church, so goes the country. And when you look at that, okay, so we look at the church, the pastor, and we skip over the most key thing that makes the church. It is the family, Coach. I'm telling you, the Lord gave me revelation. When I see kids out in the street like this, when I see them with bones in their nose and piercings all over the body and tattoos, I'm thinking, where were they brought up? I mean, they weren't born like that. They were recruited. And so, Coach, the perpetual of the scripture that is continual, and I look at it this day, it does say, and in the last days, there will arise a generation who knows not God. If you want to know what that looks like, that is what it looks like. In Malachi 4:6, he will restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. He didn't say anything about restoring it to the church or the church of the government. I'm telling you, the reason why my kids are solid and engaged, and they were down in front of the Supreme Court, they didn't wear their mask and they didn't shut down the church, Coach, is because that was family-led stuff. I'm telling you, if the family, if the fathers would get in there, look, I get it. You got a career, but when you get home, shut the doggone TV up, pick up your Bible, read with your children, interact with your children, and your children will follow you. Well, they're following them all right. The father don't care, so guess what? Neither do the kids.
Well said, man. Well said. Oh, boy.
Goodness.
Randy, come on in, Randy. Hey, Randy, thanks for sitting in for me yesterday. I appreciate that on short notice. And I haven't listened to it yet, but I'll give it a listen. I appreciate you, brother.
No problem. Coach, you know what I see, Coach, happening on the earth? You know why I say we're winning every time? Because I see real Israel. I see true Israel coming alive and stepping up. And I see fake Israel being exposed and falling. Mm. That's why we're winning. We're in the time of revelation. Exposition, and next will be action, Coach. So
manifestation of the
we're in a good time.
That's what it says, right? The whole creation groaneth, waiting for God's people to show up, and that's what I've been trying to do here for 25 years. Johnny, come on in. Johnny, come lately.
Yeah. I was thinking about. Do you remember when Christ, when he went to God and asked for the cup to be passed from him?
Yeah,
I think that this is what's going on with people like Dan Bongino. I mean, even Christ, he didn't even want to sacrifice.
Johnny, so we take Dan Bongino was one of our warriors. They put him in a position of power and he quits.
Because they scared him out of it. They threaten him out of it. They threaten his family. And now they talk. He's starting his podcast up. But I don't know why he's going to do that. Because he's just going to hit a dead end on that, in my opinion.
Well, he's lost so much credibility. And unless he comes out with a really, really good reason. In other words, greater love has no man than this. And he would lay down his life for his friends. If Dan Bongino wasn't willing to lay down his life for his friends, why would I listen to anything he had to say? But folks, that's the way they make it work. That's the way they make it work. Thanks, Johnny. Hey, listen, folks, I keep using that word. Look, I know I come across as critical. Was my camera here or here? Yeah. Look, I'm trying to exhort you. I'm trying to exhort you. And I said this earlier in the show. I don't know if you heard it. When I got done saying the prayer last night, I talked. And when I did my prayer last night, 500 people in that room, 500 big name people in that room. And I before I said the prayer, I said, look, here's the rules of life. Taught all of our football players. When you get knocked down, you get back up. When you get back up, you go again. But you can't go alone. You get knocked down. You ever watch a football game? You get knocked down, you get back up, and you go get in the huddle, and you run another freaking play. Because, see, people don't come to a football game to watch the huddle. They come to the football game to see what difference the huddle makes. That's it in a nutshell. That's it in a nutshell. And we see churches all across America that huddle and don't do shit. Sorry. Why? Because I never learned to get knocked down and get back up. Understand it's a war. It's a war for the very soul of our nation. But even worse than that, Jesus is advancing a kingdom. And the kingdom of God is under assault. And his foot soldiers won't even freaking huddle. And if they do get in a huddle, hey, Coach Norm, Alan Zeifer, football coaches out there, you know this, baby. When you got in the huddle, ain't nobody talked but the quarterback. The other 10 guys, they were simply in the huddle to learn their assignment. And once they knew what their assignment was, their job was to run up, line up, and the ball snapped, and they were to get their man. And you can go to church 17 Sundays in a row, and they won't ask you to do a damn thing. I'm just telling you the truth. They want you to come. They built a bigger building, nice lights, smoke machine. They'll tell you a message, a feel-good message, how God wants you to be wealthy and healthy and wise. All true, all true. But never once does he ask the men of the church to come forward and enlist in the army of God. Here I am, Lord. Send me. That call isn't even mentioned in church. Quickly, Jeff, come on in.
Coach, you just mentioned the huddle, being in the battle. And when you get knocked down, get back up. So you look at the analogy. I just saw this when you said this. So what happens? They get knocked down the football field. What does the other player do on his team? What's he do at that point when that guy's laying on his back? What's he do?
He'll help him up.
Yeah, he reaches down, gives him a hand, says, come on, brother. He yanks him back up, and they go back in the huddle. That's our problem is we get knocked down. We ain't got no Christian buddies around to pick us up and help us.
Not only that, Jeff. They say, well, he deserved it. He deserved getting knocked down. No shit. There's an enemy. There's an adversary. And I'm sorry, clear my throat. We're in the crucible. We're in the crucible. Folks, there was so much energy in that room. Mark Gastineau. Oh, some of us, my brain's going dead. Those heroes that I thought that had played in the Hula Bowl, they were right in front of me. Old man, like me. This is going to be our greatest hour. Right now, church, it's going to be our greatest hour. Have a great weekend. I'll see you on Monday.